Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, to please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, follow, comment, subscribe. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWpodcast.com. And check this out. We're still picking random listeners on a weekly basis who leave comments and rate us on Apple Podcast or connect with us on our social media platforms and share our content. The winners will get a prize pack that includes one of our t-shirts and some other merchandise that I know you're going to love, because, as I always say, I will not give you shit you cannot use. And just a reminder as well, the prize packs are going to be given out on the weekly basis through the end of the year only. That is through 2018, through the end of the year. So be sure to leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts, you know, and rate us. Give us on social media too, and share our content, and you'll be eligible for a prize pack if you're randomly selected. So you have until the end of the year. We appreciate your support along the way for this whole entire year. Now, without further delay, let's get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, podcast crime, Reg. What is the deal, player?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, cuz. What's going on?
Hey, man. Hey, you know, we trying something a little bit different today, man. I know you're, like I said, you're prime minister of Wakanda, some shit like that, right? So you're remote today. So, you know, we're going to try to patch you in and, you know, we got a real good discussion today, man. So it's a good opportunity for us to try this new format, enable us to be a little bit leaner, a little bit quicker with the turnaround of the content. So you doing all right, man?
Yeah, man. Tommy's a little full from, all this gluttonous I went through over the holiday.
Yeah, I know how that goes. You know, I know how that goes. You know,
but, yeah. Enjoy some family and friends that I saw. What about yourself, bro?
Man, you know what it is, man. I just, go from house to house with an empty Tupperware container and try to fill that shit up. And then I bounce.
You know, trick-or-treating.
Right.
Thanksgiving trick-or-treating.
Exactly. You know, I got people that, I trust the macaroni and cheese, but I don't trust the greens. So, you know, I had to bounce from spot to spot, man. You know how that goes.
Yeah, pick and choose. I hear you.
right. So, but man, hey, what we're going to talk about today, man, we got a very interesting show today, because I think it's a subject that we as Black people need to definitely approach with, I don't necessarily want to use the words carefully, but I think we need to approach this particular subject with some empathy and definitely with some reason, whether it be in the present context or the historical context. It's some definite things that we need to think about when we when we talk about this particular subject. And what we're going to be talking about, man, is the division between or the division in the conscious community, quote unquote, if you will. Why is there such a gap between mainstream, quote unquote, activism and, you know, grassroots or community activism, and why we can't seem to connect the two, and why there has to, and why is there so much strife between the two, especially amongst well-known individuals. And, you know, we may or may not call names, but hell, you know, we'll figure it out, man. So Rez, this is definitely kind of in your wheelhouse. I know that you're a critical thinker, you know, when it comes to when it comes to being on a conscious level or having a level of consciousness. I know that's kind of something that you really.
I try to be, man.
Yeah, you try to be, and I'm more of an emotional type of dude. You said you can't tell. Okay, you can't tell, right?
No, I can't. Never knew that.
Yeah. So, but again, like, so I'm gonna let you go ahead and talk about it, man. Let's just start off with the question, man. It's like, what do you consider mainstream activism or consciousness, and what do you consider grassroots or community type of activism or consciousness, if you will?
I think the terms pretty much describe themselves. Mainstream, when we think of mainstream media, it's available to the masses. It's easy, easy entry to be able to voice your levels of concern, your issues. That's pretty much mainstream. People of all walks of life can are open and available to be a part of the discussion. You're bringing your level of consciousness, if you will, to an open table. Grassroots, in my opinion, is pretty much what it is building from the ground up. It is unadulterated. Uncompromising. It is what it is, and is definitely unapologetic in the delivery and in the creation and in the development of the content from individuals. So people who are who have a grassroots approach, pretty much they challenge the system, where mainstream, I think, are more collaborators of the system. And so that's my basic definitions of for those terms. And I think this topic is just something that is very obvious to people, particularly in the Black conscious community, because some people have varying levels of consciousness. And consciousness, of course, is just awareness of who you are and how you play a role in the issues that you deem as important. So if we talk about the Black struggle, the Black empowerment, Black community, if you will, I think everyone knows where their stance is. As, oh, hey, I'm more mainstream, or I'm more grassroots, or some people can play the card like almost like a political ticket. Like, some things I'm liberal about, some things I'm conservative about, in as far as an approach is concerned. So I think it's definitely a good topic to try to just to discuss, because if you're really involved into, you listen to YouTube and you look at, listen to speeches from a host of people, you can tell the difference as far as who's mainstream, who's grassroots, and you pretty much know where to settle in, for yourself. And as far as your viewpoints and your issues, your viewpoints and your angle at things, and
okay.
I think it's definitely something that we need to sort of put out there.
Right, right.
From this conversation, brother.
Right, right. So let me ask you this, man. When you talk about levels of consciousness, man, do you think that one side or the other has a greater level of consciousness? And I say that it's kind of a rhetorical question. It's kind of a loaded question, but I feel like that you would have a lot to say on it. But the reason why I asked that particular question is because I think that from a mainstream perspective, the level of consciousness is more about how the actual game is played, if you will.
Right.
And, you know, the more grassroots approach is about how we really can, you know, empower ourselves and to lift ourselves up. Or am I mistaken about that? I mean, speak to that.
I agree. One is more of an independence, which I think is grassroots, and one is more dependent, which is mainstream. But I think that you can be, quote, conscious and be either or. It just depends on, again, your approach to it. For an example, I think a lot of the persons in academia fall into a mainstream type of category. Not all of them, but your Cornel West, your Michael Eric Dyson, and I respect both of those brothers to the fullest. But I think there's a ceiling that they hit, for an example, in their delivery, and they're very.
Could it be because they earn a check from white institutions, or is that part of it?
Well, certainly.
And I'm not hating. I mean, get your money. You know, we all about getting paid. Yeah. You know, in whatever your pursuit is. So you know, don't want to get that misconstrued. It's get your money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You have to have some economical source,
right?
Some income source, and but that in itself is what shuts most of us up. Think about entertainers and athletes.
Right. Right. Right.
You know, they say, you know, it's easy to shut somebody up, but, you know, with a checkbook.
Right.
So, and that's where I think also where mainstream is. And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's probably your main that's probably your main problem there, brother, is the money. You know, if I pay you enough to shut the hell up on something, just like the whole kneeling for the flag concern.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. They threw them a bunch of damn money, you know, and said, hey, you know, we're going to help, you know, we're going to help you rich ass niggas to, you know, clean up your own fucked up community. Here's 80 something million dollars. Damn. I said, nigga, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
But,
there you go.
but you understand what I'm saying though, right? It's like, you know, they throw money at you to say, hey, look, you know,
yeah,
y'all are fucking up our business. But you know, how much is it going to take for you to really shut the fuck up? Is what they said.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not going to get on the motherfucking NFL, man. I'm not going to do. You know, that's my hot button, bro. I ain't going to do
right,
it.
Right.
You trying to bait me, man? You trying to bait me? You trying to bait me?
Yeah, especially after I saw this whack game today. But yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
but check this out though, man. You were talking about Cornel West, man, and I don't want to get too far off on the tangent, but you know, he was like very, very critical of Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in the way that we were talking about when we did the show Politrics as usual, about candidates not saying what they need to really say. You know, he and the other gentleman, I can't remember his name. Oh yeah. Tavis Smiley. They were real critical about the fact that Obama didn't have a quote unquote, plan. Black agenda or whatever the case, and wouldn't even say black, wouldn't even say poor or something like that. But, you know, retrospectively thinking about it, man, they were kind of right about this shit.
Yeah, they're right.
They're right about it. So I don't know how much of a ceiling I would put on Cornel West, because I mean he really kind of took some of the principles of the grassroots effort to try to put the pressure on the mainstream level. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I mean, I don't want to have a drawn out conversation about it, but I just feel like that, you know, you had mentioned that there's a certain ceiling. I felt like that he tried to, you know, tried to go past that and to try to really put some pressure on it.
Yeah, I mean, his ceiling and a lot of those who work in, you know, on the university level, their ceiling is their employer. And so, again, it ties back to you can save it so much. And I mean, he's tenured. You know, a lot of these guys are tenured professors and,
right,
you know, within what they teach and do. So I don't think they're concerned from a career standpoint ultimately, but at the end of the day, they still work for, you know, Dyson works for Georgetown. I forget where Cornell is now. I think he's at Princeton, but they still have a president of that university to, you know, they have certain bounds
right. They
still under. So I think it's a lot of grassroots people who don't have, if you think about the Nation of Islam, for an example, Farrakhan, he doesn't work, you know, a lot of those guys are, they're self-employed. They have their, you know, they don't necessarily work for, you know, a corporation. They're not into, they're out of the corporate, platform. So they probably can speak more. I listen to Tariq Nasheed a lot, and he speaks on that. Boyce Watkins, he's a PhD in finance, who speaks a lot on Black empowerment and how to play the stock market and ways of, you know, getting out of the rat race of 9 to 5, working for somebody.
Right.
He speaks from a level of freedom.
Right.
You know, these guys are liberated.
All right, man. So let me ask you this question, man. When you were talking about, people like Tariq Nasheed, I wanted to interject something, and I wanted your opinion on it, because he's known to like, quote unquote, air out people, you know, in mainstream media. I happen to personally think that shit like that is counterproductive, man. I don't think that you should knock somebody else's grind, you know, per se. But then again, like I said, you know, people perceive and receive the workings of another individual totally different than another person might. So I'm not really sure. Can you speak to that, man? Because like I said, it's bothersome to me that like, I'll give you a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
When he and Umar Johnson had their little feud going back and forth,
right?
Man, that was really bothersome to me. That just didn't, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, man. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. How can we avoid stuff like that? Because there is. You don't have to agree with everything that somebody says, because I definitely don't agree with everything Tariq Nasheed says. I really don't. But at the same time, you take somebody like Roland Martin. I don't agree with everything he says either. But I find value in certain things that they do say. Why is there such a division? Not necessarily using those two, you know, individuals, or you can use those two individuals. Why is there such a divide to where we would just go on the attack to another person that's trying to do good work? Is it that we don't value each other's work? We don't value each other. It really bothers me, man. It really bothers me, especially when you have the platform to be able to affect, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people. To me, it's just a waste of fucking time.
Well, I think with Tariq, if you know Tariq, he's a funny dude, man. But he's very sensitive when people talk about him. Like, I would hate to be in a dozens. I hate to run a dozens on him and try to jump, because he's pretty quick on his feet. But at the same time, to his defense, he really didn't go after people like with Roland, with Umar, and unless they come after him first. And that's really, in those two cases, is what happened. And so it was more, retaliation, I think, on those two individuals. Umar came at him and talking about the hidden colors. He was talking down on hidden colors, said that it wouldn't be what it is because of him, and he he called him, you know, I think he called him a gay or something or whatever, and then Tariq just came back and in big fashion. And I like both, you know, Tariq and Umar. I listen to them, and there's, you know, things that most of what each of them say, I like what I hear. Not everything, but mostly. Roland, I think it's a little over a year ago, Roland said something, you know, smart about him, called him a punk or something. Now, should we say things just because somebody called you a punk? But if you're in the mainstream, you call somebody a punk, you know what I mean? What you want the guy not to say anything necessarily? So that's how you got it rolling. But
yeah, I guess what my point being is this, man, is like, why would somebody even go there? You know, if you got a platform like Roland has, why would you even do that? You know, I mean, why not make, to me, that's a phone call. You know what I'm saying? I guess I'm just built different though. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I really got something that I need to say, you know, I'm gonna reach out to your people or you, if I can access you directly, and I'm gonna air you out that way. And that way, you know, you can either confirm or deny what I think of you.
You know what I'm saying, man? It's everybody's, you know, heads get big, man. I mean, that's nothing new. You know, I am who I am. People know who I am. I'm gonna say what I got to say.
Yeah, in that case, that brings me to another question, because you know, we're talking about the division and why there is division. Do you think that because there are no real definitive black leaders at this particular point, you know, when you look back in, you know, in the 60s, I mean, you definitely could have, you could point your compass and find the leader. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it because we're in kind of a holding pattern right now, and we really don't have anybody that has, can galvanize the people like, you know, like Dr. King could. And also, I really feel like, man, I mean, this is, and you really got me thinking about this shit once you really put it out there, man. It's the butter biscuits, man. I believe that people that people are so comfortable eating the butter biscuits.
Yeah.
That they don't feel like they got to follow anybody, or they feel like that they don't have to put their support behind somebody that's doing good work. Because right. I will say this in regard, let's just take Roland Martin. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I value the majority of what he says because he's plugged into the system that I live in. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of like he knows the ins and the outs based on, you know, his journalism skills and his contacts and the networks and things like that.
Right.
You know, he's plugged into the system that is affecting my existence. So I kind of want to know what the hell is going on. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's like when you take shots, or when you take shit personally, if you show that your skin is a little thinner than what it should be, you know, long term, that makes me think that, like, are you really fit to be a leader? And I'm not saying him per se. I'm saying anybody with those particular type of qualities. You know, it makes me feel like that, okay, I can't really trust that, because, you know, the minute somebody does some shit or says some shit that you ain't really feeling, you're going to call them out and try and start some social media beef or whatever the case may be. And to me, it's all about that code and shit that you were talking about. That needs to be part of the code. It's like all those disagreements need to be handled behind closed doors. You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody is threatening your life and you need protection and you need to put out there, hey, this guy threatened my life, you know, I need to be careful. Yeah. I mean, but at some point, man, we have to really adhere to the code and to say, hey, look, we are going to handle any dispute that we have regarding the betterment of black people. We're going to handle that shit one-on-one behind closed doors, like stand up men, stand up women, and, you know, quit putting that dirty laundry out there for people to consume. Because we're in the age right now where all motherfuckers want to do is consume that dirty laundry. They want to retweet that dirty laundry. They want to, you know, repost that shit on IG. And it's entirely counterproductive. And I'm thinking, like, you can't really call yourself conscious. You can't be a fan or a follower of people who are trying to do conscious community work and spread the bullshit at the same time. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense to me at all.
I get what you're saying. But I think that the overarching message, particularly from the grassroots community, sort of supersedes the silliness, the name calling and the jabbing, to me. And because typically those brothers and sisters on that particular level, that's what consciousness is about. It's waking your black ass up to say, you know what, I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to call the Sheriff Clarks and the Jesse Lee Petersons and the Larry Elders and the Roland Martins and anybody else who's talking a little funny, who's really collaborating when we need to be building out here. We need to be doing something different. Why? Because what you are supporting, sir, ma'am, is not working, has not been working for decades now. We're talking on something different. And sometimes I think it has to sting a little bit. Somebody has to say, ooh, ah, man, why did he say that?
Right.
Because it will force you to think about it. Because here's the deal. I was a very avid, I'm talking daily, News One Now, you know, rolling show, morning show, on TV One. I watched that and I enjoyed the show. He had guests on, some I agree with, some were very coonish, some not so much. It was a good black news show to me, but right. It kept me in a certain lane. It didn't challenge me because Roland only brought on people that agreed with him for the most part.
Right, agree with him, yeah.
But here's where, let me go back to what you said about leadership. And here's the difference. I think you're right. You brought up about, do we think because there's really a void in quote black leadership, like a true black leader, like a Martin Luther King and, you know, Malcolm X or, you know, folks who are really leading, you know, the masses or whatever, we're waiting on somebody. But that's what the grassroots piece of it is saying. You don't need a leader. You need you to wake up. You need you to get your finances in order, things in order for you and your family so that now we can move forward. We don't need a leader. One thing I find in common with Dr. Claude Anderson, Neely Fuller, Kaba Kamene, John Henry Clark, James Small, Tariq Nasheed, Jason Black, each of them, something that each of them said and have said, because some of them are now deceased, is don't follow me. I'm not your leader. We're following each, you know, we're in this thing together. Don't follow me. I do not want to be your leader. And that, if you think about that, it forces you, again, it goes to the independence versus dependence.
Right, right.
You know, and also another thing that I like that they say collectively is, what I'm saying to you, don't believe a word I say. Even Umar says it. Don't believe a word I say. Go look it up. Go look up. Research what I'm saying. And so it's almost like I'm telling you something. I've done the homework. I've done the research. I'm in this for you. I'm in this for us so that we can build. And I'm not trying to cover up. I'm not trying to shake white daddy's hand over here to get some crumbs, you know, to get a paycheck necessarily. I'm doing this because this is some information I need to share to you, brother, sister, to build you up in whatever issue or matter that we're talking about. So I think that's one thing that to me is like almost like a check mark. But going back to Roland, and this has been pointed out on several platforms, particularly with the Black Authority, pointing out a conversation, and I think I brought this up on a previous podcast, Fresh, is when Roland interviewed Richard Spencer,
Yeah.
One of his shows.
Yeah, you
News One Now.
Yeah, you talked about that on the Politics as Usual show.
Oh, okay. Well, let me quickly. And he was asked, do you identify as a black man or are you a black man? And he could not even say yes to that. He went through all these questions and Q&A, whatever, and he said, I'm a man, I'm a Christian. And he sort of deflected it. It was like a deflection. And it's like my head is turning right now as I'm thinking about it. It's like, if you're having a discussion with a known, someone who apparently is a white nationalist or white supremacist, and they just ask you something simple like that, and you can't even just say, and again, we talked about this on the show, if you can't say black, if you are scared to, you know, to be sort of, at least just say it, you know what I'm saying?
On your own show at that.
On your own show, you lose so much credibility from somebody who, we already have an identity crisis out here to start with.
Right,
people
right.
You don't know if they... Well, I ain't from, you know, don't call me African American. Don't call me this. It's so many, you can just, you know, you'll just be writing for days, you know, the levels of divisiveness and through words and descriptions to identify us. But if you can't just say, I'm a black man and just sort of keep the conversation moving, that I lost respect for him personally. You, again, you have to go back and see that show. It was just sort of weird.
Well, let me ask you this, man. Let's move to what's keeping us divided, man? Is it the butter biscuits that's keeping us divided, or is it the and let me frame this the right way, is it the lack of absorption from us in mass? Because there's plenty of information out there that can basically give you enough knowledge to know the direction that you should go, whether it be from a grassroots community type of perspective or a mainstream perspective. But why are we stuck in the middle? Because it seems like we're only mainstream when it's election time. And it seems like we're only grassroots or community activism heavy when there's some type of tragedy in the community or travesty in the community, like a police shooting or something like that. It seems like that's when we are the most active. I don't understand why we don't absorb one or the other. You know, is it because we haven't really developed our code? So, you know, yeah. I mean, so speak to that first, and I have another question that I want to ask you after that.
No, I think the last word you said, cold, that hit the nail on the head right there. And going back to the word identity, if you go from one household to the next household, you interview 100 black people, male and female, old and young. They're gonna have varying levels of viewpoints and angles. And I think to sort of answer the question, I think it's a matter of what do you define as mainstream and grassroots? Just going back to that, because some people would say Obama was a grassroots because of, you know, before he became a senator or in his steps into the presidency, that he was a grassroots community worker and organizer, you know. And so someone
his vocabulary got a little shorter. His vocabulary got a little shorter once he got in the White House, though. You know, black and poor came out the vocabulary. I mean, he lost those words.
Oh, but certainly he's not a grassroots black consciousness individual.
Right,
but
someone,
if I probably asked my parents, or someone, you know, an older generation, they probably would say, hey, Obama, yeah, he's certainly a grassroots black activist or something. So I don't think you're ever going to have everybody on the same page. But for those who are waking up or who are woke, if you will, I think we, each of us, know where pretty much where we are, where we stand on certain things. Again, going back to some things I'm liberal about, some things I'm conservative about, some things I feel, you know, like going back to Roland. Roland is a great journalist to me. He can explain things well. That's the journalist side of him. But I want him to shut up when it comes to discussions on how to build. I'm more of a grassroots thinker personally on the building piece. So now a lot of my energy goes, you know, towards other individuals who, you know, who speak on that level. I would feel more comfortable building a community, if you will, from monies from the people, from the community, versus going out to, you know, corporate sponsors, to, you know, Coca-Cola and Walmart, whatever, to finance. Again, the revolution can't be financed.
Right.
Technically, it can't. If you really want to build a black economy, if you really want to separate, not segregate, but separate and say, hey, you know what? We have a lot of spending power, so things that we can do, we just have to change our mindset to get things done. And, you know, we talk about on this podcast, you know, all the time. We've, you know, interviewed several black business persons who are up and coming, those who are already out and you know, movers and shakers. We have more to come that we're going to interview. And so we're really doing some grassroots work on, you know, on this particular level. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
We're even though we're in a, because we're a podcast that's over several platforms that you can hear us, which makes it a mainstream, it falls into a mainstream in terms of how it's delivered, how people perceive it. But what we're talking about is a grassroots, from a grassroots level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think, not to get off from too far from your question, but I think that it first starts with the code and identity, as far as you have to be honest about yourself, as far as where you fit into something. And if I totally disagree with somebody, that's fine. I respect, you know, I just respectfully disagree with maybe how a person approaches something. If I think that it's, you know, you just fall into a comfort zone or a sunken place type of mentality, like, I feel that, I mean, that's the whole thing. I feel comfortable, you know? Hey, I live over here. I work over here. I got this, I got that. Everybody's eating, everybody's good. Ain't no reason to fight for nothing. Fight for what? You got black folks that don't even, that denounce racism, you know?
Right.
Mainstream people.
Exactly.
I talked about Larry Elder. I don't know if you know him. Like Larry Elder, Sheriff Clark from up in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Countless others. Jesse Lee Peterson. They like racism. What is that? It used to exist, but it doesn't anymore.
Right.
Like, so it's that mentality. And so that you're fighting. It's like, are you serious?
This is the thing though, Reg. It's like most people that you come across aren't really like that though. You know, most people are within a certain level of the struggle, and they understand that the way things are structured is fucked up and it's set up for us to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that those individuals that you mentioned, you know, the people that denounce racism and you know, and want to be fully integrated into whatever white people are doing, those are the outliers, because the black experience teaches us every single day that racism does exist. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
My question is more about why, if whether it's a mainstream level or a grassroots level, why isn't there more movement when it comes to us? And I'm going to tell you, because I got a text the other day. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can text us at 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060, and I will respond. And I had to think before I actually responded to this particular question, because somebody accused me of inciting violence.
What?
Yeah, man. Yeah. They said that when I made the comment about and from what I went back and listened to it, and I basically said, black people know what the fuck need to be done, but they scared to bust a grape in a fruit fight. You know, that's what I said. And I'm just gonna put it out there like this. You know, a hit dog a holler. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I figured that, you know, I've already responded to the person, but I'll respond in this particular podcast as well. And I'll probably bring it up again, because I have some other things I wanted to say about it too, on the Here's What They Think About You part three. But basically, man, it's, you know, our particular experience has been a violent experience. You know, it wasn't violence that we perpetuated. You know, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, the European white male, whatever you want to call him, the caveman, wherever the fuck he's from, is historically the most violent individual that has ever existed on planet Earth, period. And this shit ain't even fucking close.
Right.
It ain't even fucking close. And so
it's
documented. It ain't even fucking close. So what really kind of tickles me and kind of gets my fancy is like when, you know, when you get these people that are texting me, and they're probably white. So and that's cool. We appreciate all of our listeners, because there's a difference between being a white person and a person that just happens to be white. Because to me, white people is a state of mind. You understand what I'm saying? Right. I mean, so this is going out to white people, not people that just happen to be white. Look, don't bitch up now. If you think that we're gonna start some shit, just live your life accordingly and don't fuck with us. You know, like I keep saying, we really don't care about y'all. We just want to be able to live our lives and to do the things that we want to do without the impediments that you put in our way, without the systematic approach to our destruction. That's the only thing that we want. We want y'all to just get the fuck out the way. There's enough room in this bitch for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Just get the fuck out the way. Now, if you worried about some shit, that shows to me that you got a guilty fucking conscience. And what I would advise for you to do is to use whatever privilege that you have to turn around the systematic racism that is, you know, perpetuated and that you thrive in. So if you continue to take advantage of that particular system, then you don't really have a right to talk to me about what means I think are necessary to overthrow it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, because you're going to be a victim either way. Because if I withdraw my money, you're going to hurt. If I shoot you in the forehead, you're going to hurt. So it's like, you know, the ball is in your court, you know, and you're just lucky enough, the fact that black people haven't decided, or we can't seem to get on the same fucking page. And this is what I want to speak to as well, about pooling our resources to take it out of certain industries so they can see exactly what type of force they're dealing with. You know, we spend the most money and we're the least populous. Right. What part of the fucking game is that? You know what I mean? Wake up, black people.
What you're saying makes sense to me, but unfortunately, the comment you made about, hey, we just want to be able to do our thing, you be you, and we'll let us deal for us. But that's the problem.
They don't know how to do them without being evil and shit, without cheating.
I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about, you have black folks to say, no, we want to be a hundred masses on. We want that comfort. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, so
that is a problem. And you know what, man? I'm gonna be totally transparent, man. I mean, I honestly, and I've said it, you know, a couple times before on some other shows. It's like, man, I'm not anti-white people, man. I have friends, several friends that are white, and I basically reciprocate what I'm given. You know what I'm saying? But but people who are your real friends and who understand you understand your plight. They understand what you're going through. Just like I understand that some of my white friends didn't grow up around black people. So there is a certain learning curve that they have to adjust to. But it doesn't make them racist. It just means that they have to get used to, you know, to actually being more interactive and actually being more, you know, living outside of that particular privilege and taking a different mindset. And I only deal with people that are willing to absorb that particular mindset. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference than just, you know, going to work and having to deal with, you know, with the same white people every day that just don't give a damn about you. So there's a difference there. But, you know, what I need my black folks to understand is, like, I will give you a prime example. We could shut one industry down tomorrow if we put our shit together. We could totally bankrupt the health and beauty industry with all this hair products, all this bullshit. We could totally wipe that industry out if we withdrew our money. You got Korean beauty supply stores every other corner and shit in every other hood. If we stop taking our money there tomorrow, them bitches will close up. They'll close up. Same thing with nail salons. Same thing with nail salons. You know, I mean, it's like people don't understand that, yo, you take all that money and you start putting it behind the black folks that are actually doing the same thing. That's how you build Black Wall Street. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You keep that money circulating within your community. Man, there are people out here with all kind of hair care products that are black folks that are doing their thing. You don't have to go to you don't have to go to the Korean store to do that shit, to get your products. But either we're too lazy or we just don't give a fuck. You know, I don't know. Now, when you want to talk about the other thing, if you want to talk about a real revolution, understand, man, that this country was founded on violence. So for me to duck and dodge what the big ass fucking elephant is in the room, I'm not going to do it. You know, sometimes you can't have peace without war. You know, and I've said it once, I've said it before. White people are lucky that we're just trying to get along and that we're just trying to carve out our piece of the pie instead of really trying to get some motherfucking revenge. Because you're all exposed. You're all exposed to this shit. But it's these crazy white motherfuckers that are out there shooting up shit. You know, we can't even go to the damn movie theater. Can't fucking take a yoga class. Can't go to the mall. Can't send your fucking kids to school. Can't go to a fucking concert. Can't go to a fucking bar without some crazy ass white dude shooting some shit up. So it's like, you know, the very violence that people are afraid that will perpetrate, you motherfuckers are out there already doing. So again, like I said, I mean, you know, it's you're in a state of denial. You're in denial of your evil. And then you're in a state of fear because you're hoping, it's like, man, please don't let these black motherfuckers wake up. That's what you're hoping. And if we ever, ever, ever want to get revenge, y'all are fucked. But it ain't. I mean you're really fucked. But it's not gonna happen though, because that's just not how we roll.
That's not how we are as a people innately. But there's just a heck of a lot that we can do. I mean, you summed it up. I'm not gonna regurgitate some of your points there, because, you know, I pretty much agree. But it's all a lot of it is systematic as well. From a mentality standpoint, there were laws put in place. We all know about slavery and black codes and some of the Jim Crow laws and things. But there was a law back in the early 1700s called meritorious manumission, basically where slaves were rewarded for snitching on other slaves. They tried to run away. And this was in Virginia in I think 1710. It was like a reward system. If you snitched on somebody, French trying to at 8 o'clock. So, you know, fresh, trying to break out of here, you know, any move that, you know, slaves try to break out or do, if you snitch, you told, you would be rewarded freedoms, certain levels of freedom, if you will. If you saved the life of your master and master's family, you would be rewarded as well. And definitely if you gave up your life for someone, you know, your master, then someone within your, like maybe your wife or child or whomever would get the reward on your behalf. So it's like you died for somebody else's freedom.
More things change, the more they stay the same, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And it was something, I don't have it up, but it's, I think, like, if I invented something, I would have to give you the credit. If I gave you the credit for inventing, you know, some type of creation or invention, that's another way I could have gotten freedom. So we learned, these were laws in the, you know, state laws, particularly in Virginia, but I think it was spread throughout the Union, that were in place that really got us telling on each other. Yeah, it makes me think about Stephen from Django. You know, it creates that mentality, the Willie Lynch mentality.
So let me ask you this, man. Let me ask you this. Do you think that it's an issue akin to that from, you know, from a mainstream to grassroots perspective? Do you think that people look at the grassroots efforts as being more of a, you know, more of a field effort, and the mainstream being more of a house effort, you know, for just to be, you know, I hate to really use those terms, but just to lay it out there.
Yeah, of course.
Well, see, that's part of the division there, man. I mean, we're divided. I mean, that's part of the division. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah,
I mean, Malcolm X spoke on it probably, I would think more eloquently, the house Negro versus the field Negro, and how he broke it out, the differences and the benefits that come with being the house Negro. You know, master, you sick, we sick. We sick, you know?
Right.
When the field Negro would be like, couldn't wait to burn that motherfucker down, you know, the house be burned down. It's you know, one guy. But then the house Negro would take up, I mean, that's where the whole Stockholm Syndrome was coined. It's where I'm oppressed and I want to take care of my oppressor. I want to forgive him. I want to make sure that I protect my oppressor. And that's where that house Negro mentality came from. And sometimes in mainstream media and the mainstream consciousness, I can say some black things. You can look at me, I'm black, but this, I'm leaning towards mass a little bit. It makes me think of the video where Roland was dancing with
the, man, that's shit is funny as shit too. I mean, yeah, you know, hey, funny is funny, bro. I didn't necessarily like the attacks, you know, but that shit was funny as shit. But so let me ask you this, man. Do you think that mainstream media is less conscious? I mean, is that what we're getting at? Are we saying that there's a lower level of consciousness if you are accepted by the mainstream and you know, you have you know, other races that actually accept your opinions and your viewpoints as being valid? Does that make you less conscious? I think that would be problematic to think that, but I mean, is that what we're saying?
No, I mean, I think it depends on the individual who's delivering the message. Because, you know, I don't want to group it all, because not all grassroots individuals, you know, within that particular conscious community are all doing, you know, you got some people who are, you know, some shysters, because typically, you know, mainstream has more of the connections to resources, they can reach, again, they can reach fatter pockets to bring, you know, if my community needs something, it's almost like a politician, right? They can speak the rhetoric and go out there and get the resources, but how you bring them back and how you distribute those resources, that's what's missing. A grassroots-minded person if they were really in the mainstream position, would go get the resources and do what the hell they need to do for building purposes. Hey, I got this bag, y'all. Let's build. Let's build like we're saying.
Right.
So, but I wouldn't, to answer your question, I wouldn't say, it's hard for me to group it, but I think to a certain level, from what I see, yes, it is a tad bit more tainted or watered down version of consciousness, because by the time you, for me, I can just speak for me, by the time I get in around someone's level of thinking, I say, okay, I like what this brother or this sister's saying. I say, oh, well, damn, they didn't deliver like I thought. Or they're not really on code. They deflecting too much for me. I don't know. It is somewhat watered down, because it's the same cycle. At the end of the day, ask yourself, where have we, and I can hear Claude Anderson right now, how have we progressed? And I, most things are weighed by economics. Where are the economics in a particular group? You know, where is our wealth building in a particular group? We're always going to have varying levels of thinking, and how you raise your household versus mine, and you know what you do, and you know, oh, they vote and we don't vote, or you know, we're not going to be on the same page all the time. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's like running a business. You know, I might have 10 managers who help run this company for me, and they all think differently, but what's my bottom line at the end of the year? You know, can I stay in business? And I think that's like Black folks, where's the needle moving for us in how we're building institutions? Institutions are something that not only you put into, but it's supposed to give back, so that our kids and our kids' kids can to reap the benefits, like what white privilege is about. You know, they've had a big head start, of course.
Right.
Free land and free labor for hundreds of fucking years. But hey, let's start from scratch. Let's build this thing, because we can do it. We're the richest group of Black folks on the planet, in the United States, collectively. We have spending power, we have access like none other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think I read something, we would be the 13th wealthiest nation. If we were a country, Black folks in this country, the 13% of us.
Yeah.
And I just said 13. Well, what did I say? 13%?
Yeah, 13% of 340 something million, I think.
Yeah. And if we were our own country within this country, our own nation, if you will, we would be the 12th or 13th richest nation in the world, or something like that.
That's some crazy ass shit, bruh.
And if you know what I'm saying, so potential is there, and that's what pisses people off on the grassroots level, to say we can do this. We don't need, you know, we don't need folks to be dependent upon. Let's change our mentality and how we, you know, how we conduct our lives day in, day out, how we spend money. We're not all going to get along. That's just how it works. You know, but, you know, of course, we want to try to be in harmony with everybody. But again, that's just people being people, no matter what color you are. But ultimately, we can do it. We just have to really make that decision. And that's, Harriet Tubman said, I couldn't free more slaves if they knew they were slaves.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So right. we got to know that we're really slaves. You know, we're really in, you know, we just have more benefits nowadays, but we're still in a global prison, if you will. We just got to know that we're prisoners trying to break out and break through. But most people don't know that.
Yeah, they don't. Hey, check this out, man. One final point that I wanted to discuss, man, before we head out. I really think that, especially after examining this last election cycle, man, I feel like that mainstream politics is starting to get particularly dangerous for Black folks. And the reason why I say that is because I had a conversation with my uncle, man. He listened to the Politics as Usual show, and you know, he made a real interesting observation, man. And he basically said that dealing with Democrats, man, is it's dangerous because they only give enough for Black folks just to be satisfied. There's no real change agent that comes out of the Democratic Party. There's no real change agent. And it goes to the point that we were making on that particular show, is that we don't hold people accountable enough. Now, when we talk about the accountability, man, I think that our previous point that you were talking about in regards to the money, and that I was talking about as far as the money, that's how we need to start approaching this shit, man. It's like, we're going to withdraw our money from this sector unless we get this. We're not going to buy anything from these motherfuckers unless we get this. You know what I'm saying? We're only going to buy this type of car from here on out unless we get this. I mean, you know, there's power within that.
Right.
And I think that, especially when it comes to the Democratic Party, man, we need to start putting more pressure on these people to address real Black fucking issues. You know, because they're going to string us along,
yeah,
and continue to take our vote for granted. They'll come to the neighborhoods and the communities when it's an election cycle, when it's hot topics and shit. And then once it's over,
we fall for it every 2 and 4 years.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's time out for this shit, man. It's like, really, we really need to start changing our mindset. And, you know, I am going to start being a whole lot more active in regards to the pressure that I put on people, whether it be locally, statewide, or nationally, you know, via this particular platform, through social media. We're gonna get some motherfucking answers, man, because it's time out for the bullshit.
Right.
It's time out for the bullshit, man. And
right. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, it's time for us to figure out the best way for us to go politically. And it's not necessarily Democratic. It damn sure ain't Republican, I can tell you that. But it's not necessarily Democratic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to even be at the table, then really just an independent party. Here's our candidate. Here's who represents our needs. And run as an independent if you must. And once again, you have some people say, I don't want to be a part of the political American system to start with. There's a division there. It just depends on, hey, but all the resources are there, man. We can go get some of those resources that we need.
How do we get people to vote, man? How do we get people to vote? I mean, are we going to say, look, you know, we'll give you all a free hair weave that you can get for a year? I mean, what are we going to do, man? Because motherfuckers would rather go spend their money in, you know, in an Asian hair supply store, Asian nail salon, buying all these other, you know, brands that don't give a fuck about us. They'd rather spend, you know, conspicuously spend your money on shit to help your identity than they would to put into the political process to actually affect change for us all. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, this ain't gonna happen overnight.
So what do we do? Do we start going around and start slapping the biscuits out of motherfuckers' hands? Do we like, man, put the goddamn biscuits down? What are we doing?
And see, that's what grassroots does. That's why they call out people. They say, get the goddamn biscuit out your mouth. What you talking? We don't care who you are. Yeah, I'm going to call your name out.
Right, right.
We're tired of the biscuits.
Right.
And that's why they call people out. And they say, I'm unapologetically black about it. How about that? This is how I think we can build. And I'm going to just keep calling you out while you buck dancing over there. And I don't have a problem with that. If you about change, if you're about solution, if you're solution driven and about solving problems. But one thing we have to also be realists about it. It's not going to happen. Things aren't going to happen overnight. We have to, for an example, you said about supporting Asian wig shops and nail shops and things. Great. All right, let's say they stop tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying that it's not any black owned shops or what have you. But what about the distribution of those things from the industry? Is a big control in that industry. So
it wouldn't be after we take all the people that are already developing their products and set up your own distribution network. You know, I mean, it's like turning a cruise ship on a dime, but it can be done. It's like, you know, I think it was, it was Dame Dash. It's like, man, we put our money together like that, then we the plug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll be coming to us. You know what? Right. Once they realize, like, damn, you know, they really got all that motherfucking money. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then they'll be like, hey, look, we'll give you all this product for a fraction of the price now. Or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's way, but you have to put your foot on their motherfucking necks. You have to apply pressure to that shit. And if they move, you got to kick them with the other motherfucking foot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You sound like Debo right now.
I'm just saying, though, man. That's what you got to do. You got to apply pressure to the motherfucker. You got to choke a motherfucker. And if they move, you got to slap them and let them know that you're serious about this shit.
And sometimes we just got to do it. And that's where, in my office at home, I have on one wall, I have a painting of, it's actually a polished picture of Black Wall Street from Tulsa, Oklahoma, that has somewhat of a caption about it, about what happened in 1921. Below it, I have a certificate, a stock certificate. It's a printed, it's not original, stock certificate for the Black Star Line from Marcus Garvey. I have those things on my wall as a reminder of here, almost 100, or definitely over 100 with Marcus Garvey, but 100 years ago, these people figured out something. They figured out how to do the things that we're talking about right now, as far as Black empowerment, Black economics, being separate and independent in our progression as far as our money bouncing in the community. I'm spending with you, you spend with him, he's spending with him, he's spending with her, and it's going through a Black bank, and we're just self-sufficient as a community of people. And I have those things as a reminder. Here in early 1900s, Marcus Garvey has a fleet of ships, steamships. Now, I read that he wasn't the greatest business person. And of course, he was infiltrated. We know his story, but still, his mindset and what he was about 100 years ago. Why can't we do those things? We have greater means. We got internet. We got, a lot more opportunity to do it and just do it. Just be problem solvers and again, solution-driven thinkers. That's why our youth don't really respect us, man, because guess what? When it's time for them to get paid, whether you are an athlete or you are a young rapper, or if you're somebody who, if you're an engineer or a doctor, whatever level of profession you're in, what you want to achieve, who can they go to in the Black community to say, hey, give me a job? give me an apprenticeship. You know what I'm saying? They yeah. have to lean on other cultures, and that's the thing that, to me, that hurts the most is we're not creating something that we can sort of pass on. This is beyond us. This is for the kids. This is for the children. You know, they don't trust me. It's like, okay, what can you do for me, right?
Right.
If you're 16, hey man, I'm eager. I'm anxious. I'm hungry for knowledge and for to make money and to learn things and how to build and what this and that. Have my own. Okay, show me black man. Show me black woman. Oh, okay, you work for who? Okay. So that, you know, we can't pass down a job, you know, from generation to generation. But you can pass down something that you that you can own, that you own, you can pass down. And so it's a challenge for us all, man. You know, I got work to do, but consciousness is about still being aware of what we're talking about and saying, hey, you know what? Just like you admitted a few minutes ago, you said, you know what? I'm going to be more involved. I'm going to, you know, put my foot on the neck of some of these, you know, politicians who are running for office and or whatever. And I'm being more active and being more involved into the process of, hey, I want to make sure black folks get what they get, you know, what we need rather. And being, hey, I'm gonna hold you accountable. If you're the one that's supposed to run down there to the store to get some, bring something back, and you don't bring it back, brother, you're gonna have a problem with me. And that's the thing. We don't demand shit. We don't demand anything. We just passive. Okay, well, let's hope. I had a discussion about the last one, we talked about the voting and politics episode with a family member, and I said something. They said, well, hey, at least we got hope. I said, seriously, we got hope? That's what you were going with. Sometimes that's just what you got. I said, you know what? That's the problem. The intangibles. It's time for us to demand some tangibles and things. Give me, you know, tangible results, not just a hope and a wish. You know, I 200 years from now, I just really hope that this and this and this. No, I want to see some tangibles now. Why? Because the same system, the same government that we pay taxes to and so on and so forth promised us through certain different treaties, and even the 1866 Indian Treaty that's still being fought in court about how much land that we're supposed to be given from Native Americans. But I ain't gonna go there. But so the whole 40 acres is new. That's not a fallacy. That's written. There are different things. We supposed to have resources, bruh.
Yep.
We supposed to have land by way of, you know, per the United States of America. But you know what I'm saying? It's we can't just hope. We have to demand these things. It may take time, yes, but I'd rather hear somebody, going back to the grassroots versus mainstream, I'd rather hear somebody say, hey, here's what we need to do. I'm going to challenge the system. I'm tired of the same old saying, because, a wise man once said, insanity means that you keep doing something and getting no results from it. That's the definition of an insane person. And we've been in a state of insanity as a people for a long time. And we just have to every day, we just have to make a conscious effort to remain consciously aware about our position.
Right, right. So, man, we're gonna leave it right there, man. Just want to remind everybody that in addition to Apple Podcasts, we are on Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox. Got some more outlets that'll probably come in the future. Working on that now. Definitely follow us at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And like I said, be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all the good stuff, man. Check out our website, icbwpodcast.com, and you can always text us or call us, 704-946-6060. You will get a response. Text is actually our preferred method of communication, or hit us up on IG, man. You can follow us. Our information is out there. You can follow us on that. Shoot us a DM. We'll definitely get back to you, man. We'll definitely get back to you. And we appreciate you taking a listen today.
Be good, be safe, behave, man.
We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest anew. And occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture. And we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.